You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is currently on vacation, having fun, vacating, relaxing, and doing it deservedly. She will be back before you know it. But we are here today. I am sitting in the chair for the show. We're here from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and we have a huge, huge packed show. Before we get to that, Calvin Butenhoff on the boards. Calvin, how are you doing? How was your Labor Day weekend?
It was pretty good. It was void of labor. How about you, Greg?
I wasn't laboring for a paycheck, but definitely working for the weekend because we were doing all sorts of stuff with family. It was a big packed weekend with, you know, just family in town celebrating my mother-in-law's 80th birthday, seeing some of my family as well. So it was a good weekend. By the time we got to yesterday afternoon, it was absolutely just on the couch trying not to fall asleep because I didn't want to fall asleep too early. But yeah, we had a great weekend. I'm glad you did as well. We hope you had a great weekend too. Hope it was full of fun, frivolity, and frivolousness, because you know the weekend's for that. If you want to join us, if you want to call in, you want to be part of the conversation, you can do that by call or text at the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently on Facebook, YouTube, and the site that we in this house still call Twitter. At 9:35, we've got Todd Alba, who is the host of the Todd Alba Show. He will be joining us today. We're going to be talking about, we discussed it earlier on Friday. We're going to talk about it more today. We're going to talk about J.D. Vance's trip to lacrosse last week, some of the things he said about Milwaukee, and just how that area of Wisconsin, as well as many areas in Wisconsin, are going to be hit hard by the big bill for billionaires. We're going to talk about really the true cost of it all on how it's going to hit the healthcare as well as just, you know, our farmers. So at 9:35, Todd Alba will be here for that. And then at 10:06, we have Professor John Shelton. He is the chair of democracy and justice studies at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. He's also the president of the AFT Wisconsin. And we're going to be talking about Labor Day, the unions, but most importantly, we're going to be talking about a letter that AFT sent to the candidates for the 2026 governor's race to kind of see where they stand with unions, how they will stand with unions, and we will find out more. And we'll be discussing some other things as well, including how we bridge that that divide through the work of the unions, talk about, you know, the history of the labor movement here in Wisconsin, very rich, deep history. But you want to show up there for at 10:06 with Professor John Shelton. At 10:35, Calvin, this is going to be fun. We've got Civic Media's very own Terry Barr. She is absolutely, Jane refers to her as the genie of just about everything. She'll be joining us to talk about her latest edition of Slice of Wisconsin, where she highlights a fun thing going on in Wisconsin. Going to have an audio component as well. So you can join at 10:35, or you can stick around. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful packed show. Just wanted to let everybody know this came through. It's being reported through ABC that President Trump is scheduled to make an official announcement from the Oval Office at 1 p.m. Central Time today. The details have not been immediately disclosed, but just to let you know that there will be an announcement from President Trump from the Oval Office at 1 p.m. today. So I'm sure that we'll have more information as the day goes on. But it that just came through the wires. We wanted to let you know. So, Calvin, a lot of things happening this weekend, a lot of news happening. But I wanted to take this time. There was an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel written by Rick Barrett, titled Abbotsford's Immigrants Have Been Welcomed for Decades, But Now Some Are Afraid. And if you don't know about Abbotsford, it's a small town in Wisconsin, north central. It's very small, about 2,300 in the population. Very, you know, very stereotypical Wisconsin. Small town, charm, lovely people. And the reason for that headline and the reason why I wanted to talk about it is there was a resolution that came up amongst the Clark County Board of Supervisors. Abbotsford actually is in both Clark and Marathon County, but the Clark County Board of Supervisors were considering a resolution that would encourage the Sheriff's Department and other local agencies to assist when called upon by federal agencies to help with immigration and deportation, basically helping ICE. We've seen this all over the country, but the Clark County Board took up a resolution. They talked about it. And luckily, I will say this, two things. It was a non-binding resolution, which means that it wouldn't have said that this had to have happened. This was more of a resolution to encourage sheriffs to participate. So it just would have been a vote of confidence, if you will. It was a very poor phrase, but it's really what it was. A vote of confidence from the Clark County Board to say, yes, you should do this. It was voted on the 21st, and after critics objected, this is coming from the article from Mr. Barrett, I will put this in the show notes. The board voted 20-8 to send it to the Law Enforcement Committee for review and feedback. Essentially, they didn't pass it. They sent it back to the committee to do further review and further research and come back with more information. But this is basically a pause. And as Tony Vasquez, a Spanish language interpreter from WASA, he says, quote, I think putting this on pause was good. Because, folks, this is Wisconsin, small town. And it says here that even though it was non-binding, it would have encouraged racial profiling and mistrust in law enforcement. And in cities like Abbotsford, it's a huge action that would have massive, massive detriments on the community. Because Abbotsford, right here in Wisconsin, our state, small town, 2300, immigration has been a part of that community for over 100 years, since the late 1800s, when the railroads were being built through Wisconsin. Abbotsford actually put the call out to say, hey, come here, come live here. In 1911, the Abbotsford Clarion Ledger newspaper promoted the area to immigrants in an article, and it was promoting it to people of European descent as that who was coming here at the time to say, come here, you are always going to be welcome. Over time, the attitude of welcoming towards immigrants kept up, but the names and faces changed. It went from people of European backgrounds to people of Latino backgrounds, and they have been coming there for a very long time, and they have been working in that community. And I want to know, are you from this area? Are you from around this area? Do you live in a community like this? Because you know where we're going with this, folks. This is a small town. These people, whether, you know, born in Abbotsford or coming there as immigrants, contribute to their economy. And this isn't like New York, LA, or even Milwaukee where, and this, you know, if people are taken, the cities can survive because there are so many. And it's not right, but it's just the fact when you have a city with 500,000, a million, two, five, 7 million people, when individuals are taken, there isn't such a damage to the economy. And this is what it would be. It would damage to the Abbotsford economy. Abbeyland Food is a business there in Abbotsford, and they have more than 1,000 employees, and they employ people who are immigrants. So and they know so much that the economy of that community and the business itself depends on their labor, because in 2017, the company shut down one of its plants for a day and slowed production so employees could attend a Day Without Latinos, Immigrants, and Refugees rally in Milwaukee. That's how much they know that these individuals are important to their community in Abbotsford, 2300, not New York, not LA, not Chicago. And we talked about, you know, the idea that, oh, well, we're going to go to these big cities that are full of crime and get rid of all these individuals who are committing crime. We're going to get rid of all the immigrants because they're all criminals and the criminals are going to go away. And we said, yes, get rid of the criminals, Calvin. We said, get rid of the criminals. If they're here illegally and they are criminals, get rid of them. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about a big city. We're not talking about a big bustling metro area. We're talking about Abbotsford, Wisconsin, 2,275 residents. 38% of them identify themselves as Hispanic or Latino. That's according to the U.S. Census data. 60% of the school district students are Latino. The churches have been a place where immigrants have found support because the rumors of ICE raids are surfacing, and the vote from the Clark County Board only stoked those fears. Again, this is an article coming from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel written by Rick Barrett entitled "Abbotsford Immigrations Have Been Welcome for Decades, But Now Some Are Afraid." These are individuals who are contributing, they're paying taxes, they are part of the community, and now they have to be afraid because this isn't LA or New York or Milwaukee or Madison or Green Bay. This is a tiny town. And if ICE comes to this town and starts deporting, by the way, folks who are going through the process to stay here legally or at least get stays, this is going to devastate this community. And I just want to know, for those who are on the train of get rid of them all because they're all criminals, how does this, does this sit fine with you? I don't see, you know, I would love to hear from you too. Make that make sense to me. They're going through the process. They contribute money. They contribute taxes. Their kids are here in the neighborhoods. They're part of our families. They're part of Wisconsin. They're Wisconsinites, in my opinion. And that's all there is to it. And we're not talking about drug trade. We're not talking about trafficking. We're talking about people who come in here for a better life to raise their kids. Work hard. They're not asking for much. I mean, they just want to be part of a community. And Abbotsford has opened their doors, and they've been doing it for over 100 years. And now we're at a place where, instead of saying, we've got a county board that, in to their credit, listen to the community. We've seen the videos of people who, we've seen the videos of county boards, city councils who just don't listen, who just talk over people, who just look at their phones. But credit to the Clark County Board. They sent it back for review. And I want to know what you think of this, because frankly, this is what we've been talking about for a while. You want to start with these big cities, of course, because they're big cities. They're, quote, crime dens and criminal havens, and it's easy to vilify them because they're big cities, and that's what we've been doing for so long. Big cities are full of the, quote, wrong people. But this is Abbotsford, Wisconsin. When they start going after these small towns, these small cities, they're going to crush their economies. They're going to hurt the people there. They're going to hurt us instead of helping. This is not how we do things. This is not how we should do things. This is actually how we do things. This is exactly how we're doing things. And we're doing it with, and they're doing it with impunity. And when, I hope to hear from you, because I want to know. I would really love to know your thoughts on this. I would love to know your take on ICE and sheriffs and police going into our small towns and rounding up people who are just trying to create a better life, who are going through the process, who are being deported. Is that Wisconsin? Is that us? I don't think so. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC is the number. You can leave a comment on the live stream as well. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. Also talk about, I guess they're not only going to be arresting people at courthouses or at their homes, but if you're working in the middle of a job, like say putting out, you know, doing a very dangerous job, they might just arrest you as well. So don't go far. We're going to get some hydration, get a snack. This is Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is out vacating. She'll be back. But I'm here today doing the show, hoping you're doing well. You can get in touch with us. Call our text, same number, 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. can do that by going to Facebook, YouTube, or what we in this house still call Twitter. You can also contact us via the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free. See what I did there? That's a pun. Get that on your device, and then you can call, text, or leave a voice note. That way you can participate in our free ticket Fridays or our giveaways. But that way you can always stay in touch with Civic Media. You can listen there live anywhere in the world. This free Civic Media app, go to your app store of choice, download it today, and participate, be part of the conversation. Talking about new fears in Abbotsford, Wisconsin, 2,300 people in that little community, because the Clark County Board of Supervisors were voting on a possible resolution to encourage the sheriff's office to cooperate with federal agencies in their deportation efforts around the country. Not just big cities, folks, not just the scary blue liberal bastions, but places like Abbotsford where regular folks are paying their taxes, doing their work, living their lives, Wisconsinites through and through. And this, of course, has stoked new fears. These are people part of the community. They are loved. They're valued. They're contributors. And if you want to just get real, you know, take away all the emotion. It's really about the fact that they're also participating in the economy. They're also buying. They're also, it says here, you wouldn't have, this is someone named, this is someone who spoke about the people there. You wouldn't have the tax revenue from all those people working and paying taxes. They're buying groceries, clothing, and patronizing other merchants. They're renting homes, buying homes, and starting businesses. Whether you look at it from your heart or from your head or from your wallet, these are individuals who are contributing to the economy of Wisconsin, the economy of this United States. Immigrants pay billions of dollars in taxes, state, local, federal. Whether they aren't documented or they're here through legal measures, they are paying into their taxes. They are part of our economy. They're part of our community. And this, to me, just seems like, well, we vilify and we look at the big cities and say, well, we need to get rid of all the crime. This is not the big city. This is Abbotsford, Wisconsin, North Central Wisconsin. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the phone. You've been waiting. Thank you so much, Troy. Good morning. Happy belated Labor Day. And what say you on this?
Good morning and happy belated Labor Day to you all also. I don't understand the hatred for the brown people that are just trying to make a way for themselves and make a better life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's, and I'm glad I don't, personally, I'm glad I don't understand that, because
it means you have compassion, you know, Troy.
Yes, exactly. And empathy, which is a sin according to Elon.
Yeah, that's something that man said. Yeah, empathy is a sin. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right, Troy. And I want to make clear that individuals in Abbotsford, there are people in that community who are working through the process to stay here legally or at the very least not be deported because they want to go through the process. And Troy, as you and I have heard through the years, it's always been a cry from certain individuals who say, well, why can't they do it the right way? Why can't they come here legally? Well, guess what? When they do, they still get arrested. There was a story out of Los Angeles. A man has been waiting over a month trying to figure out why his wife, who has a green card, was deported. They're doing it legally, and they're still being thrown out, Troy. I don't know. Like you said, you have empathy and compassion. It sounds like logic, rationale, so it doesn't make sense to either one of us.
Yeah. People getting their green cards are doing it the right way, and they're having their hearing terminated, and they're being arrested on the spot.
Yep.
It's just ridiculous.
Yep. And frankly, and thank you so much, Troy, for calling. I always love hearing from you. And as I said before, happy belated Labor Day. Yeah. I mean, that's just what it is. And frankly, the phone lines are not lighting up with folks who think this is a good idea, because they cannot defend the fact that this is all built on a lie. We were told these were criminals that were going to be deported. These were people who are, you know, bad dudes, as the president once called them. But that's not what's happening. These are just regular folks who are trying to make a life, and it's indefensible, because I'm not hearing from anyone saying, good, get rid of them. They're all criminals regardless, because it's not, you know, the story over the weekend about Guatemalan children who had to have a deportation stayed because they were going through the foster system, trying to get stay orders confirmed so they wouldn't be deported. It doesn't matter. They're probably the law, the courts, the process does not matter to them. And before we get out of here and we go grab some hydration and a snack, and when we do come back at 9:35, we'll be talking to Todd Alba about J.D. Vance's visit to La Crosse last week. Firefighters question leaders' role in Washington immigration raid. And Wisconsin Examiner is reporting this. Alex Brown with the byline. Let's read this really quick. Federal immigration authorities last week raided an active wildfire response in Washington state, arresting two firefighters and sidelining crew for hours. You heard me correct. They raided an active wildfire response. The wildfire veterans say the operation was nearly unprecedented, a breach in longstanding protocol that federal agents do not disrupt emergency responders to check immigration status. This is not about criminals anymore. It never was about criminals, let's face it. It was never was. That was always a lie. But they don't care that they're lying. They don't care that they're doing it out in the open. They don't care that we see what they're doing because they do it with impunity, because they just got the largest increase in big bill for billionaires. So they get to do what they want. They are stopping wildfire responses to arrest crew members because they are suspected of being here illegally as immigrants. Hopefully you'll find out more about this, but don't go far. Get yourself a water. Stay hydrated, because when we come back after the news, Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show here on Civic Media from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., will be here talking about J.D. Vance in La Crosse. Don't go far. Stay close. Stay tuned. You're listening to Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently vacating, resting, relaxing, deservedly, and she misses you. She just told me. So she'll be back in a few days. But for now, you've got me, Sweet Cal B, on the boards. And oh my gosh, look who's here. We are matching almost twinsies. We're like fraternal shirt twins.
Exactly. Very close.
Mr. Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, which is on Civic Media Monday through Fridays, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. You can listen to it live on the radio or get it on the Civic Media app. You know, it's great ways to listen to us, to him every day, Monday through Friday. Todd, how are you doing? How was your Labor Day weekend?
Thank you so very much for asking. Let me just tell you this. The one thing I did outside of the house this weekend is I popped up to Wisconsin Dells, because my sister and brother-in-law and mom and I, we mostly them, because they have the camper, Christmas Mountain, and they're camping over the holiday. It was great. And I went right down through the heart of Lake Delton, Wisconsin Dells. I looked over at one of the big water parks, and it was like sardines in a can. And I thought, who in the world would be in that mess? And I look over, and riding a large flamingo blow-up type of device in one of the big pools, our very own, I hate to disclose where she's at, Jane Matinere was there in the pool in the Dells, and her lovely husband, Paul, was in one of those cabanas you could rent on a lounge, and I heard him wave and just say, lovely, darling, keep it up, and they looked like they were having a great time. So I hope that Jane and Paul continue their Dells vacation, and I know they're having a lot of fun.
I just love this idea of Jane sightings in the wild. So,
right
before
you want to know the truth,
yeah.
Here's the deal, and we're going to talk about this on a slightly more serious note on the show today, mm-hmm. Because you got good old RFK Jr. coming before Congress after he's basically gutted the leadership at the CDC. Mm-hmm. I got my shingles and my pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine shot all together on Friday at my annual physical. Now, the good news is I'm physically okay, mentally so-so, but I got these vaccines, and it was my second Shingrix, my shingles vaccine.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I was down for the count mm-hmm. most of Saturday. I was like sweating and chills. But now I'm feeling relatively normal, but you just got to push through it.
Yeah.
You got to get your vaccines, folks.
Yes, you do.
But that's what I did. I recovered from my Shingrix vaccine. That was most of my Labor Day weekend, Greg. How about you?
Very busy hanging out with family. It was my mother-in-law's 80th birthday celebration. We were having a good time, you know, doing our thing. But by the time we got to yesterday, as I said, when the show started, I was done by like 3:30. I'm like, is it too early for bed? Yeah. Is it too early for bed right now? Because I feel like I could go to bed right now. So, yeah, it was a very fun weekend. And then, of course, and we're going to talk to Professor John Shelton in the second hour at 10:06 about this. But, you know, you love Labor Day. You love that day off. Thank you, union member, because that's why they're here. They fought to get that. So, talking earlier before you got here, Todd, we were talking about the story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel regarding Abbotsford and the Clark County Board of Supervisors voting to not encourage the sheriff's office to cooperate with federal agents on immigration raids throughout the community, which would absolutely devastate that town of 2,300. We were taking your calls and texts, and Jack from Merrimack has been holding very long, very patiently. Jack, what say you on the topic? Thank you so much for calling in this morning.
Well, yeah, I just had a little observation not just in Washington, D.C., but all over the country. We've got armed agents. They claim to be authorized by government. But they got uniforms. You know what? You could get those uniforms at many costume shops. Mm. They're masked.
Yep.
They're either unwilling or unable to show a government ID. They don't have judicial warrants. No probable cause more than skin color or tattoos. No due process. Mm-hmm. And they arrest whomever they wish, abduct them, sometimes forcibly, from homes, workplaces, churches, lately schools, and even courtrooms where they are following the law to update their legal status, and they send them off to other countries where they've never been,
yeah,
or hold them incommunicado for a lengthy period. And just incidentally, by the way, accidentally, of course, currently over 70 of those who have been abducted were American citizens, and that doesn't even count the armed troops in the streets. So who are the criminals?
Yeah.
You think everybody feels safer? Just a few years ago, this would have been called kidnapping.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, thank you so much for calling, Jack. We appreciate that. And I mean, everything you were saying, I'm thinking about all these situations. I've seen stories on it, and not just going to, like, as I said earlier, before we went to got the news, they raided firefighters in the middle of a wildfire response while they were working. They arrested two people. And Todd, I mean, I know that we're going to talk about J.D. Vance, because God knows we want to. God knows we need to. He came to La Crosse and he had so many things to say. It was amazing. He has so many great words from Milwaukee. But, I mean, it just comes down to, it was sold to us, Todd, as we're going to get rid of the criminals. And most of us were like, sure you are. But now it's not even a matter of trying to stick up for the lie. It doesn't even matter if they're lying. They don't care, because there's no stopping them. They're going to do what they want because they have the power. The big bill for billionaires gave them a ton of money. They got the president. They have people. Like, it's just, it's the fact that they said, oh, we're gonna make America safe again, too. It's like, no, you're just going to get rid of brown people because you don't like brown people. Just say that. We know that's what you mean.
I think most reasonable Wisconsinites would say, hey, you know, if there's one or two people in our state who committed a bank robbery or committed a heinous sexual assault or, of course, a murder, and they got let out on probation and they did it again and they happened to be undocumented, well, then sure, we don't want those one or two people around. They're troublemakers. They're bad folks. But to Jack's point, as most reasonable people, if you think through it, that's not the people that the Trump administration is going after. And Jack's 100% right that many, if not most, of these people who are being quote unquote rounded up and detained end up being here under legal status, either citizens or permanent residents or other legal visa types of things. And some came here legally, applied for extensions, but because of I still call INS or ICE is underfunded, the time it takes to get that approval for extension takes so long that their current legal status expires. So then they become quote unquote, as the Trump MAGA folks like to say, illegal. And it's not that folks are coming across the border, although some did, of course, but many of these people did not. They came here the quote unquote right way.
Yes.
And they're their status expired. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it was really interesting, I think, to get to round it back to this J.D. Vance visit. By the way, I cannot confirm this, although I've heard through various sources, the vice president was disappointed because the folks in Wisconsin, RPW, did not take him to his favorite spot in Wisconsin around the La Crosse area, Ashley Furniture, which he had requested but did not work out. So that he's very disappointed about that. Although he was slightly inspired when he drove through La Crosse's campus and saw some old sofas being put out by fraternities on the curb. But other than that, he was speaking about President Trump wants to be asked to come to Milwaukee, to take care of crime and that sort of thing. And what I thought was interesting, there was reporting, I think it was Matt Smith at WIS, done up front over the weekend and put into WisPolitics as well, that good old former state senator and now Congressman Scotty Fitzgerald, Republican, when asked by reporters over the weekend, said, no, I think Milwaukee's different. I think we're fine. We really don't need the Trump administration to bring in armed military folks to get rid of crime in Milwaukee. But Chicago, yes. Yeah. So I just, continue to ask your viewers and listeners, as I think is always a good thing to do, how would you feel if armed military personnel came into your town, whether it's where we were at lovely Butternut or Hayward or Green Bay or La Crosse or Milwaukee or Madison or Richland Center, how would you feel? Because most people would say, well, we don't need it here. Mm-mm. Well, put yourself in the places where it is happening. And I think that's a good way to look at things.
I could not agree more. If you're just joining us right now, Matt and Aaron Air, we are talking to Todd Alba, the lovely and wonderful, talented and great. Give him more compliments. He hates it. He is the host of the Todd Alba Show, which is on weekdays 2 to 4 p.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And we're talking about J.D. Vance in La Crosse last week, speaking to a group of individuals. None of the individuals and J.D. Vance were not in Milwaukee. They were in La Crosse, but he had amazing thoughts about Milwaukee. Kelvin, we have a bit of a clip there we can play real fast to the point of what you were just talking about, Todd.
Is Milwaukee a super safe city right now?
No.
It's had some crime problems. It's a beautiful city. There are a lot of beautiful, incredible, hardworking people who live there. But let's be honest, Milwaukee has had some crime problems. So have other parts of our community. Chicago, I know we're not too far from Chicago. Chicago's had a lot of crime problems. Why is it that you have mayors and governors who are angrier about Donald Trump offering to help them than they are about the fact that their own residents are being carjacked and murdered in the streets? It doesn't make an ounce of sense.
Offering, Todd. Offering. Offering.
Well, and that's
I have not
a helpful hand out there.
I have not read my dictionary in quite some time. I was not aware that the Webster and or Merriam-Webster and or Oxford or Steve's dictionary has redefined the word offering as in uninvitedly marching into a town with troops and weapons to round up criminals or just stand around. Really, honestly, in all seriousness, I have family who live in D.C., and I was told this weekend that ICE agents are standing around train stations asking for identification, asking people where they are going, and basically gumming up the works of transportation in that city just because they have to make their presence both known and justified, and to do that, they have to just bother people.
Yeah, it's disturbing. I've friends live in D.C., work in the D.C. area as well. And what's interesting, and I know you know this, is that where the Trump administration is putting U.S. Marshals, ICE, so on and so forth, are not in the highest crime areas of the district. It's a lot of this is for show, as you say, to gum up the works. Here's the one thing I'll say that I hope the Democrats take into consideration. I think to simply poo-poo it and just say, everything's fine in Milwaukee. I love Milwaukee. We've done our show from there. You're based out of that area of the state. Yeah. There's a story in The Hill over the weekend, thehill.com, 10 cities with the highest crime rates. And Milwaukee, I believe, is fifth in that. And it lists it out there. There was another story, I think, at WFA or whatever the CBS or the television station is in the Fox Valley that talked about this as well over the weekend. So we all know that every city has problems. It doesn't matter large or small. I think the point is to statistically say, sure, yeah, I mean, you can say we have problems, but we've got this. And I think the thing for Democrats is not to ignore the issues, but say to focus on we take care of our own. Mm-hmm. We don't want the feds coming in because historically, as a former Republican, Republicans have been against having outside, you know, the feds come in and take control, the state come in and take local control. They mm-hmm. want to make things local. Yeah. So use that juxtaposition, I would say, and not ignore the challenges that our state has, but say, we got this.
Exactly. We're going to keep the conversation going with Todd Alba. If you want to be part of that conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. Want to hear from you on this regarding J.D. Vance, immigration, crime, all the things we're talking about with my friend Todd Alba. We'll be back in a little bit. Get yourself some water and a snack. Stay hydrated. Stay close. You're amazing. Listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for the lovely Jane Matt and Air, who is currently somewhere. But I'm not telling you where. That's right. She misses you. She'll be back before you know it. But I'm sitting in the big chair for a little while here hosting the show. And I have the wonderful, lovely, talented, kind, generous, compassionate, verbose Todd Alba on the show. He is the host of the Todd Alba Show weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. here on the Civic Media Radio. And he's looking at his phone currently trying not to listen to compliments.
This is never before done, I believe, on Matt and Aaron Air, because our news director, Sholly Pittman, has just called me. I have her on speakerphone.
I'm so sorry, Tom.
And now we've got her on. You're on the air, Sholly, on Matt and Aaron Air. This is fantastic. No. How are you?
I will call you later. I'm so sorry, Tom.
Thanks. All right. We'll talk to you later, Sholly. Have a great day.
I think it's funny. You heard it here, folks. Breaking news. Sholly Pittman calls Todd Alba.
It could be because we have there's a big Trump presser at 1 o'clock.
Yes, from the Oval.
Here's the deal. From the Oval, and so there may be a special report happening at 1 o'clock. I may be a part of with Sholly. Yeah. And I'm trying to urge people to bring in Pete Schwab, a host of Nightlight, because I'm no Dan Rather, you understand. I'm no David Muir. But I'm thinking if Trump is in the Oval Office and J.D. Vance is on one side and Mike Johnson's on the other, and Trump has his arms around their shoulders with sunglasses on and a bucket hat, I want to know for Pete Schwab, does this qualify as Weekend of Bernie's?
I
would just like to know that.
That was a very long walk to a punchline there, Todd. It was a very long walk. It was like,
well, you know.
But yes, I was actually gonna bring that up towards the end of the segment. But yes, President Trump, they have announced through the White House. I don't care when you say it now. But at 1 p.m. Central, President Trump will be making an announcement from the White House, from the Oval Office. So yeah, stay close to Civic Media for more information. As we know more, we'll tell you more. And I'm sure we will have discussions about this event happening post-event, if you will. So
we'll be there at one if something really is truly newsy, or at 2 o'clock to discuss if it's a nothing burger.
I mean, it's coming from the Oval, so I usually have nothing. Like, Oval's not it feels like a something burger. It could be a something taco. I don't know. But we don't know.
Maybe Trump has discovered that the so-called quote-unquote gold fixtures in the new Oval Office are nothing more than plastic from Home Depot spray-painted. That's actually true.
He's just gonna read the Epstein list name by name for like 4 hours. It's like, I got it right here, folks, and we're going through it name by name. Before we went to the commercial, we were talking about the, you know, just the the ICE raids, the I don't know, the lies being told to justify the deportation of folks who aren't fitting the bill of what we were told would be deported. You know, these are folks who are living their lives, paying taxes, by the way, paying billions of dollars in taxes to their communities, to their state, to their country. And they don't even, and they're going through these processes because they want to be here in a legal status. They want to go through the steps. And could you imagine, like, two things I want to propose to you, Todd. First of all, could you imagine if instead of all that money for ICE, we would have given like 60% of that funding increase to immigration and the courts to speed up the process, get more judges, get more lawyers. Just make, you know, we've said it before. We're not trying to make it easy. Like, it shouldn't just be you walk in the door and here, you're an American. Like, I understand that there has to be processes involved, but it shouldn't be so hard that you put your time and money into this all and you can still be deported. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't hold value for those who are trying to do it. And it doesn't hold value for us as Americans who want those dollars, want those people, want that contribution to our economy and just our general culture as Americans. It doesn't make sense. It just once again, tell us you don't like brown people, be honest and say it like that. And then whatever, it's like, you're going to do what you want because that's what you've been doing for months anyways.
I think you're going to play parts of this cut. I've played the whole thing on my show from the, it was like a 1979 yeah. Republican presidential primary, but for the 1980 election when George H.W. Bush was primarying Ronald Wilson Reagan. And the question came up from a person in the forum about immigration. And George H.W. Bush said, hey, I have brown people in my family, and I think we have to find a way to bring them here, to make them legal, to find pathways to legality. Reagan said, I'll up you one. I think we should have fewer fences, not even a wall, fewer fences, and have a way for people to come here, Mexico at the time, to pay taxes, to your point, to go back and forth and be part of our economy, which helps both countries. That was the Republican position of Ronald Reagan. And it shows you that MAGA is not really Republican nor conservative. It's a party of Trump. Mm-hmm. And so many people across the state have kids on volleyball and hockey and football and soccer teams and in band together. And they have no idea that their kids' best friends mm-hmm. are dreamers
yeah.
and are not, quote unquote, documented. And so the question, again, I ask people is, would you like your kid's best friend who happens to be Latino to be rounded up and taken away? Would you like the kid who is the star athlete on your local sports team to be taken away? I know that's a simplistic way to look at it, but no, I think it gets to the point.
Yeah, absolutely.
These folks are integrated as part of mm-hmm. our community, and many times we don't know it. They're good folks who are contributing to our communities, who are part of it, and we need to find ways, reasonable ways, to bring them into our community.
Todd Alba is on from 2 to 4 p.m. Stay close to the Civic Media Radio Network because we have an announcement coming from the Trump administration at 1 p.m., which I'm sure, Todd, you'll be talking about afterwards and on your show.
We will.
If it's not a nothing burger. But anyway, stay close because when we return, we have Professor John Shelton talking about the labor movement and how it's going to work with the 2026 governor's race here in Wisconsin. Todd, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Don't go far. Get some snacks. Get some water. Come back. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.